you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises. All the earth will sing your praises.
Yes. They will. Sing this out. You took our sins away.
You took, you take our sins away, oh God. You gave your life away for us. You came down, you saved us through the cross. Our hearts are changed because of your great love. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise. You did. You're alive. You rule. You reign. You said you're coming back again. I know that you will. All the earth will sing your praises. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise, you did, you're alive. You live, you reign, you said you're coming back again, I know that you will, all the earth will sing your praises. You lived, you died, you said in 3 days you would rise, you did, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again, I know that you will, all the earth will sing your praises.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone this bright and sunshiny day? Hopefully you all are doing well this morning. I see some new faces out there this morning. We do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. You are family this morning, so make yourselves at home this morning. Just a few announcements that I'm going to highlight and touch on. The first one, we are still in need of a first and second grade teacher. If you feel so led or feel it laid upon your heart to fill that position, you can see myself, you can see Steve Beechler, you can see Pastor Jill, you can see Pastor Gary, any one of us, come see, and hopefully we can get that position filled here in the next coming weeks. If you are a part of the Giggles, the Ladies Fellowship, you have a luncheon directly following service. Couple committees are meeting tonight. Vision Committee is meeting at 5 o'clock before service. And then if you are part of the SDMI committee, there is a meeting directly following service tonight. Church Board meets tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here at the church. How many of you were here last Wednesday night for the first choir practice for the Christmas cantata? I know that there were several of you that were here. If you were not able to be here, you can still come, still be a part of the choir and the Christmas cantata. That is every Wednesday at 6:30 here at the church. How many of you know that we are getting ready to send some people down to Arizona? Our work and witness team will be leaving out this Saturday and will return on the 21st. So be in prayer that they have a safe trip down, that they can complete everything that they desire to complete while they're down there. And then again, that they have a safe trip returning home. And then it hasn't been really highlighted all that much, but there is an upcoming layman's retreat to Fort Scott, Kansas. And there's a little bit of information out there. There's not.
The registrations are due. They're getting
next. Okay. If you want.
It's always up at Lake Windermere.
If you.
Okay.
I don't think he knows. So if you want some information out in the foyer, on the bulletin, on the What's Happening bulletin board, there's more information on that. Registration is due next Sunday. That's for Fort Scott, Kansas. So be looking out there for more information on that. That's all the stuff that I'm going to highlight on. Paula is going to come up and make an announcement about the Ronald McDonald House.
All right, a couple things. I just wanted to touch base that craft night is Thursday. I appreciate everyone's patience with that, having to go to Florida. Also want to take the opportunity to thank everybody for their cards and prayers while I was there. I definitely felt them, and I appreciate it. On September 20th, the Giggles, the Ladies' Council, is doing something new that I'm very excited about. We're going to be volunteering once a quarter at the Ronald McDonald House to feed parents and children that live in the house that have to go over to Cox for medical treatments. It's not necessarily just the cancer treatments, but other things also. I was very touched by the Ronald McDonald House when I went out to Memphis to stay with Sam for a weekend and saw how much they did for those families, and got to talk not only to Sam but some other people that got to take in that gift, and how much they enjoyed having the home-cooked comfort food to help them cope through all the hard times that they're going through. So the Ladies' Council on September 20th is going to be cooking and volunteering. Everything that we're doing is going to be volunteering, cooking, baking, and later in the month in December, we're going to do some crafts with the kids and stuff like that. But we're going to put a tree up on the Ladies' Fellowship board that's going to have little leaves on it. For those of you who can't help and want to bring something, a dozen cookies, we haven't planned the meal yet, but whatever's on there, you can purchase something and give it to us if you want to donate some money to go towards the meal, because we're not going to take an offering or anything. We're going to kind of try and just stick amongst the council and church members. So that'll be up by next Sunday if you want to look at it. And if anybody wants to volunteer to come help us, you can get with me or Mindy or anybody on the council who'll give you more information on that. Thank you.
All right, we'll be looking at your bulletin for upcoming events and times and schedules. But at this point in time, we are going to continue on with our service. For our greeting time, if you all would, stand up and greet one another in the name of the Lord this morning.
Jesus. First of all, I want to thank everyone for all your donations for the Sun Valley School. I can guarantee you that those will be very, very much appreciated. And we'd also like to ask for your prayer this, not this coming week, but the next week when we leave on Saturday. The experiences that I've had on mission trips are, it's like you reach a different, go to a different realm. And it's like you can feel, you feel the need of prayer. And we, there's been a lot of times we've been in dangerous situations, and your prayer would be very much appreciated. Another thing I want to mention is at District Assembly, I was really excited about something that they showed that we could do. And you know, one of the speakers was talking about that there's something for everyone to do, that we all have a purpose in life. And he said, you need to pray that you can find something to do. And so they were showing all these different things. And one of them was they showed something that's called an Evangia hat. And this is an Evangia hat that's very easy to make. And for me to say that, I can't knit, I can't crochet, I can't do anything. But this is a hat that you make, and then we box them all up, and we send them, and they go to the mission field. And they use these, and I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the colors that, you know, black stands for sin, and then the blood of Jesus, and that you're cleansed, and then you grow, and then you eventually go to heaven. Well, they give these to kids in different countries, and these kids, they're very, very popular, and the kids wear them all over. And I thought, you know, that's something I can do. So I've started doing these. And if anyone is interested in helping me, just come to me and we'll get together and I'll help you. These are just made on a loom and they're very, very easy to make. So if you're interested, just let me know.
Pastor Don is not here this morning, so Pastor Gary asked me if I would come and take the offering. So if our ushers would come. While they're coming, though, I thought I would give you just a little bit of an update on our finances. Thanks to your generosity and not only with the church but with God, we're doing very well. However, I don't know how many of you remember this during this past month, we had an air conditioning unit that just went on the fritz. We try to budget for unforeseen items. That's a pretty major expense, though. So this last month, we were hit with that. We had our Faith Family Fun Day, which was our carnival, which is a pretty major expense. We're not in any crisis at all. However, if you would like to help alleviate some of those specific expenses, just make a note on your check or on your envelope that it go to air conditioning replacement, I guess, or just put AC on there, or put a Faith Family Fun Day. If you want help in a specific area, some people like to do that. You know, beyond if you have a little extra money, you'd like to, you got a windfall of some kind, the church would be very happy to help you with that. All kidding aside, if God lays it all on your heart to help in these certain areas, again, the church is not in any kind of financial crisis. You've been very faithful, but we do have certain expenses that come unexpectedly, kind of like your household expenses. You have whatever, car repairs, house repairs. It's pretty major sometimes, but God is very faithful through your giving and generosity and faithfulness. So just want to let you be aware of those things where that you have opportunities to help in God's kingdom work. So as we go to prayer this morning, just be mindful of those things. Bob, would you mind coming and praying for us this morning? Thank you.
just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is no name in heaven above that we should give such honor and such love as this blessed name. Let us all acclaim that wondrous, glorious name. The sweetest name I know, and someday I shall see Him face to face, to thank and praise Him for His wondrous grace, which He gave to me when He made me free. Thou blessed Son of God, sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Songs that come and go, and then there are songs that become classics, songs that everyone knows, that as soon as they hear the music play, they can begin, they can sing the words. That chorus is one of those kind of songs. And I remember as a small kid on the farm, when that song came out in the 60s, I remember going out at night to get the cows when we would be later than we were supposed to be. And I can remember the moonlight streaming through the branches that would be waving when the leaves had fallen. And it would be kind of scary. And I can remember singing that song while I was going about my chores. And it's amazing that when we're in the midst of the throes of life, to speak the name of Jesus, I mean verbally speak the name of Jesus, has a calming effect. And I remember that as a kid, that I could sing that chorus. And I can't help but every time we go to those chorus to think about the times in my life where things have been tough and about all I could do was speak the name of Jesus. And the comfort and the peace and the assurance that it would bring. And as we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we address the Father through the Son Jesus. And that name, again, means power. It means peace. It is indeed the name above all names. And it gives us confidence as we face life's issues. As we pray this morning, they are a list of things that seems to always be quite lengthy in our bulletin that we want to be aware of and be mindful of. We also want to remember Ashley Swearingen's friend Nick, who's in the hospital, had his appendix out, and she asked for prayer for him this morning, and so we want to be sure and do that. And then there have been some of our pastoral families that have gone through some difficult times. The Kazmaiers, who pastor in Osceola. Gloria was in the hospital this past week and was released just in the last day or so. Was having some swallowing issues, but I think that they've got that resolved. And then Matt and Jenna were down in Arkansas to see his folks and thought they would be back. But indeed, Jenna's mom, Gloria, her sister, unexpectedly passed away of a heart attack. And so they are staying down probably for the funeral, depending on how that schedule all works out with Matt's work schedule. But be praying for that whole family. Jimmy and Gloria pastor our Branson church. And so this is Gloria's family. And pray that God will help them as they minister to them and pray for their church as they're absent from their church. And, you know, there's just always things that need to be taken care of. We want to pray for Pastor Don and Ruth. They are in Girard, Kansas this morning. And they are helping celebrate the 10th anniversary of the New Start Church that was the church they used to pastor. And they were a part of that, initiating that New Start and that new mission work. And that church, which had struggled for years and years and years, being about 15 or so people, now is running about 130 as a new start in a new location. And so they were honored to go and be invited to be a part of that and a part of their work and ministry in their life. And so pray for them. Sister Ruth is still continuing to battle some health issues. And Carolyn is up here and Pat is back there. And so I'm going to ask the two of them to meet in the middle. And if I can have you guys to come here to the altar, we indeed want to pray for this team that's going to Sun Valley in Arizona to the Indian work, to do work and witness. There are other district people that will be going. Pastor Don and Sister Ruth are planning on going. John Lewis is a part of that team. The Lewises are at a family reunion this morning, and Pastor Don and Ruth at this anniversary celebration of Girard. And so, Carolyn, if I could have you and Pat just to come down here. And if there's any of you folks who would like to gather around them, you're welcome to do that and pray for this team as a whole as they're going to be going to the work. The altars are open to you this morning. If there are others of you who have personal needs and issues that you just want a place of prayer to meet God this morning, you feel free to come and to find a place and kneel this morning. But we're going to pray over these issues and many things that are here, our upcoming revival. And indeed, Wednesday, I want to remember to tell you this, Wednesday at noon, this Wednesday, the 11th, at noon, if you're available, at the Courthouse Gazebo in Ozark, there will be a prayer rally. It's an annual event. It's called Cry Out America. It's done on the anniversary of 9/11, but it's a prayer for our nation. And there will be several pastors that will be there. There'll be some music and some prayer time. But it's just a time to indeed pray for our nation, to pray for its leadership. And these gatherings will happen all across the nation. And so we encourage you, if you have time in your schedule to do so, to come at that noon hour on Wednesday and be a part of that gathering as well. So as we sing together this morning, those of you who'd like to come and gather around Pat and Carolyn and the team that they represent, feel free to do that. If you have a need of a place of prayer, you feel free to come and find a place of prayer yourself this morning. But let's sing together and then we'll lift our voices in prayer.
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus.
Stand with me this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is always a privilege and an honor to be in your house, to be in the presence of your people, to be a part of the body of Christ, to be your children gathering. We had a great day, the Swearingen family yesterday, gathering in a family reunion. And Father, I look forward to the time that we will be at that table in heaven and a great reunion will take place of the body of Christ. Those who have gone on ahead, those who will be brought in at that point in time. But Father, indeed, a great reunion day when people are brought together because of their relationship in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise of eternity in heaven. And Father, we pray that you would help us to live in such a way while we're here, so to make it. Father, as we go, you know that there are many things that we're having to deal with. There's sickness, Father, and there's financial challenges, and there are emotional struggles, and there are relationship issues. And Lord, indeed, there's just a myriad of things that the enemy throws at us along the way. We just want to tell you how much we love you this morning. We want to tell you how thankful we are for a plan of salvation. We want to tell you that we appreciate your love and your grace and your mercy and all that you offer for us, the opportunity to be in relationship with you and to have your presence go with us and to face every situation that life can throw at us. Father, we thank you today that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It is a reminder that there is not a devil in hell stronger than you. Lord, you are sovereign in control, and you are supreme as a being in this universe. And so, Father, we are glad for you to be our Father, and we are to be your children. And we crawl up in your lap this morning, and we thank you for a place to come and to find peace and calm. And Lord, we offer up to you these requests today because they're beyond us. They're bigger than us. We can't do anything about them. But Lord, if you'll give us direction and if you'll give us wisdom and if you'll equip us and then indeed if you'll fill us with your indwelling presence and power, Father, we'll be vessels for you that things can be accomplished. And so, Father, we pray this morning for this team from the Joplin District Church of the Nazarene that will go to Sun Valley Indian School and indeed be Jesus and God with skin on to some folks out there and accomplish some projects that need to be done. We pray for your anointing, for your protection, for your provision over them. We pray, Father, indeed, that all the items that have been collected and that will be shared will be a blessing and will represent the love of God to those folks who need to know about Jesus. And we pray that the result of this trip would be that the people that are a member of the team would feel closer to you and more in line with what you want them to be and do. We pray that those who are the recipients of this work and these things indeed would feel God loving them and reaching out to them. And Father, we pray that there be some folks maybe that haven't really turned loose and let God be a part of their life, that as a result of the show of God's love through these human lives, that indeed they will come to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, we pray that wherever they may go, we pray that these hats, these caps that Carolyn has been working on and that others probably are making as well in other places. But Lord, I pray for Carolyn's caps. I pray that wherever they go, that somebody's going to ask about those caps. And whoever the wearer of that cap is, that they'll know Jesus themselves and that they'll be able to explain to whoever asks about that cap about sin and about the blood and about cleansing and about growth in grace and about an eternal promise of a home in heaven. And Father, we just pray that out of those caps, out of those efforts and out of that yarn would come new life. And Father, we just thank you. We pray your blessing upon the other ministries of the church, the things that will be done at Ronald McDonald House and the other things that we've already done, our car show and carnival and just the various things, the address plates where we've reached out to people in our community. Father, we pray that you'd continue to use those as an ongoing testimony and as a reminder of the great love of God. Now, Father, if there are any here this morning that seem to be under under the weather. If there are any here this morning who seem to be under oppression, we pray, Father, that you would touch them and that you would lift them up and that you would help them this day. And may they sense your presence and your power. Lord, if there was one here who has drifted in their relationship with you, may this be the day to make things up to date and current. And may they know, Father, that you're not looking to browbeat them, but that you're looking to forgive them and to love them and to give them victory and indeed help them to be able to move on successfully. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to bless in each situation. We pray that you'd be with our family members that may be under physical duress today. And indeed, bless that celebration in Girard, Kansas, that Pastor Don is a part of, and Pastor Dell Samuels there. Father, we pray that you would just make it a great celebration. May there even be souls that will come to harvest today because of what they see happening there in that place. Continue to use Nixa to be a lighthouse to its community here, the Church of the Nazarene, and bless our sister churches. And we have a great group of pastors and great works that are out there serving your kingdom. So, Father, may we make a difference in our world. And may the spirit of revival sweep over us, and may we truly be found about the Father's business. And we'll give you praise because you are worthy. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me, face to face I shall behold. Oh, blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory shall see him by and by. I shall see him.
It was just a couple of weeks ago that at this juncture in the service that we received some new members. And it's always exciting for a pastor to receive new members into the fellowship. The bad news is that when you receive new members, that somewhere along the way, sometimes some of the old members change locations. And I would be amiss if I didn't say something about this, and I'm sure they probably didn't really want me to, but without trying to make any embarrassment or problem, we still need to tell you how much we love you and appreciate you. And you know that one of the answers to prayer in Greg and Vicky's life was that they bought a new property, and that property is located in Marshfield, Missouri. And as a result of that, Marshfield is farther away than Ozark or Nixa, and so it is highly likely that in the very near future that they will be seeking a little more economic sanity as far as driving to church, and so with that said, we will tell them that if they want to change their mind, it's okay. We'll keep them and they can stay. It's all right. But we understand economics and those kinds of things, and certainly there are churches probably closer to their home. And so thank you, Greg and Vicky, for being a part of our family. You will always be a part of our family. And may God's blessing be on you and your personal lives and your business. And we will miss you if indeed you make that final decision. I'm not closing any doors until I have to. But if indeed you make that final decision. And so the other thing you need to be praying about is if indeed that takes place, and it seems that it has high probability, then we'll also be seeking new leadership for the small group that Greg and Vicky lead. And so those of you particularly that are part of that small group, but all of you as part of the church family, I'd be praying that God would lead and give direction there in regard to that. But thank you so much. We love and appreciate you and all that you have done to serve the kingdom through our church. And so we appreciate you and just wanted to verbalize that. Say thanks. We love you. Okay. And that means all you new guys are going to have to get to work. Got to fill in these blanks. All right. We need first and second grade teacher. We're going to need small group leaders. You know, when you're doing kingdom work, there's always needs. Always jobs to be filled, things to be done, and so indeed we trust that you will pray about that and follow God's direction in your heart and life. I want to turn your attention to a passage of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hopefully, all of us in life are going somewhere. We have a direction, perhaps, a thought about a plan, a career. Truth of the matter is, there's not hardly any of us here that can grow up in America without somewhere being confronted with a concept called the American Dream. Now, the American Dream might represent some different things to some different folks, but primarily, It has kind of a singular meaning, and it represents in our minds what we call success. And I was just doing some reading. It says the American Dream is a set of ideals in which freedom includes the opportunity for prosperity and success, and an upward social mobility achieved through hard work. In our Declaration of Independence, there is this statement that we are all educated to when we are in usually junior high school or at least high school, and we become aware of it, that everyone, all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Endowed by their Creator, that would be God, with certain inalienable rights, meaning that our Creator has bestowed upon you some things that every person should expect.
That was their position, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Just like everything else that was structured by those men who set about the foundation of our nation, through the course of cultural change and an ever-changing society, we believe that there are some people who interpret the meaning of those kinds of thoughts very loosely these days. And as I was praying and reading this week, God began to deal with me about the thought, and perhaps he was just asking me this question, I don't know, but he began to challenge me about what I'm pursuing in life. Most of us have been posed the question multiple times by the time we're 12 years old. What do you want to be when you grow up? And so we began to determine early on in life, as we're thinking about education and that process, what indeed we're going to do. We go through the first 13 years of school, basically, and they pretty much have a pre-described course that everybody's supposed to take. But when you graduate high school, then you begin to say, okay, here's what I think I want to do in life, and so here's the educational course I'm going to take to get myself in that position. And all of a sudden now, we've launched ourselves into the American dream. By educating and by working, we believe that there are certain things that we should be able to achieve. It's our right. It's our pursuit of happiness. The problem is, oftentimes, not always, but at least the thing that I want to challenge you with this morning is that in the course of determining what our American dream is, in the course of determining what we think our Creator has given to us as an inalienable right, sometimes doesn't involve our asking the Creator His opinion. Oftentimes, we predetermine what we want to do when we grow up without asking God. And therefore, we plot out a path that perhaps doesn't have God's input. And to be quite honest, spiritually, I see that as a problem. And so, what I want us to consider this morning is, as we are going about our business, are we indeed asking God what His thought process is? And are we letting Him give us guidance and direction in our lives? History tells us that in 1848, a lot of people fled Germany, welcoming the freedoms in our world and the lack of hierarchical or aristocratic society that determined the ceiling for individual aspirations. In other words, there was sort of a class of people, and certain people couldn't even have an opportunity for certain things. Countries that have monarchies, there's only a certain class that get to do certain things. And indeed, America presented the freedom for people to do whatever they wanted to, whatever they were willing to work for, whatever they were willing to educate themselves to and achieve. And then the American dream, which was all about hard work and freedom, sort of changed in 1849 with the California Gold Rush. For there was a concept that said the new dream was the dream of instant wealth, won in a twinkling by audacity and good luck. Now, in our current culture, we don't have a gold rush, but we do have a lottery. And it fits right into that American dream. With a little bit of luck, I'll have it made for the rest of my life. To the extent that oftentimes people have gambled away their basic family income trying to get rich. Well, I want to share with you this passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 12, and see if perhaps we can get away from just thinking in the temporal realm and perhaps indeed find out why God placed us here and what He wants us to be doing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, now get that, that's the love of money. Money is not evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What are you pursuing today? What's your life about? Are we tunnel visioned into what we can see and touch and feel? Or do we truly have eternal aspirations, and is what's going on now impacted and directed by those eternal aspirations? As we think about being in pursuit of this morning, I want us to think about planning our pursuit, practicing pursuit, and the product of pursuit. The word pursue in definition means to follow in order to overtake, to seek, to accomplish, to proceed along, to engage in. In other words, it's pursuit is all about what we're doing to get to wherever it is we think we want to go. We make decisions based on our pursuit. Does it fit into our plan? Will it help us achieve our goal? Will it get us to the end desire? Everything we do, our pursuit, we are engaged in, we are proceeding along, we are seeking to accomplish in order to get to whatever it is we think is going to be it. If we get there, we'll be so happy. When we come to the point that we realize that life without Jesus Christ is futile, and that we realize that we need God's grace and mercy and forgiveness, and we should get into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, something should happen automatically at that point, but doesn't always, maybe because of, in the truest sense, not in a negative sense, but in the truest sense, ignorance on our part, lack of education of spiritual things or whatever. But a lot of times we don't realize that at that point, God should become everything. And I should become nothing. Our inalienable rights are not things that we think we should have that God should bless us and give us. Our inalienable rights are what God wants for us. In Psalms 139, verse 16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Do we really believe this day, when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ, do we really come to the point in our mind, the mental assent, that indeed God has a plan for my life? That it is no longer just about what I think and feel, and indeed that if I want what's best for me, knowing that God knows me better than I know myself, that indeed if God has a plan for me that's been ordained before I was even born, wouldn't it be a great thing if I'd get in on that plan? And maybe the plan that I'm on is indeed parallel and in line with His plan, but perhaps what I've been pursuing before I gathered much spiritual sense might be something that's totally different from what God's plan for my life is. And wouldn't it seem to be a good thing if I would begin to pursue what God has for me, understanding that this is part of His promise. In Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." How many times have we gone through some level of anxiety about completely yielding ourselves to God's plans for fear that God might want to do something we don't want to do? How many times have we heard people talk about those missionary times, you know, where they say, "Okay, I'll be a missionary if you don't send me to Africa"? And how many times do we put these prerequisites and these conditions on God and say, "Okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do as long as it's not that"? When indeed, total yieldedness, becoming a living sacrifice, is coming to that place where we say, "God, what do you want from me?" Believing that He knows what He wants for you better than you know yourself, and that His plan is better than your plan. And so as soon as we can come to grips with what that is, that we begin to move toward it with excitement and enthusiasm and a positive attitude, knowing that God's got it under control. Yet, in all reality, how difficult is that for us sometimes? Because it kind of interferes with kind of what we had going, or what we were doing, or what we were hoping to be. We hear about those stories of men being called to preach who indeed had other aspirations going on, and maybe their life was headed in a very positive direction in the business realm, and indeed God pulled them from what would have been a very successful financial career, and perhaps there was not quite as much finance inside the church. We know about people who've yielded their careers to the mission field. We know of people who have in many cases given things up. And as we see things on a temporal plane, it's like we're wowed by that. Wow, how could they do that? But may I remind you of the goal of the text when he begins to talk to us about the things that some people do that they shouldn't do. But he says to us, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." God's plan is for us to make it into His heaven. And whatever it takes to accomplish that, and indeed to influence as many others to go along as we can go, that's the plan we ought to be pursuing. To take hold of eternal life. Whatever it takes for us to take hold of eternal life. I'll tell you what it takes. As we think about practicing pursuit this morning, it takes a connection to God so that He's calling the shots. The only way we're going to take hold of eternal life is to be doing what God wants us to do, to be right with God. So as we practice pursuit, one of the thoughts that we have to consider is, what's our target? You know, what are we pursuing? And if we're going to think about the target, if we're looking for something, we talked about this a little bit in Bible study on Wednesday night, that if we talked about seeking God, we talked about if we're seeking God, hey, let's go to the last known place where we had Him. If you're going to look for something, you try to backtrack and think, when's the last time I remember having that? When's the last time I used that? And we go back to that place and we say, okay, that's a place to connect. That's a good starting place. It's going to the last known location or going someplace where we know there's a connection. And where do we know the only connection to God to be that we have visible on this earth? One place and one place only. God's Word. So if we're going to be in correct pursuit, we need to be in line with God's Word. Listen to this passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 and verse 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey His laws and commands. And then over in chapter 15 and verse 2, he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you and you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." If we're going back to a place of contact, if we're going to figure out what our target of pursuit is, we need to know what the will of God is. And the will of God is stated in His Word. And when we begin to take the Word of God, when we can see things in black and white, and we begin to say, "I can't do those things," then we're not really pursuing God. Because I think God knew what he was doing when he recorded the word. I think he knew that there's not anything in there that he wouldn't help us to achieve or to accomplish. And so when we begin to say, here's kind of where I want to go, and here's what the word of God says to do, and I don't really want to do that. Or here's why I can't do that right now, or I'll get to doing that later. Then we have to know that we're not on the same path. We've changed pursuit. James tells us in James chapter 1, in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Does that mean do what it says when you want to? Do what it says when you think you're in a position to do that? Do what it says when you decide it's right? No, it says do what it says. So when God brings revelation to you in his word, when you're reading your devotion or you go through a Sunday school class or you're sitting in a sermon or you're listening to the radio or whatever the case might be, and the word of God comes forth and the word says to do something and you're not doing it, or the word says not to do something and you are doing it, then you need to change to conform to the word of God. Then you're going to be in pursuit of God's plan for your life. When you're going to contradict the word of God, you're not in pursuit of God. I mean, come on, let's be honest. How hard is this? Amen. How many of you believe the word of God's truth? If you want to be a Christian, you got to do what the word of God says. Is that a hard fact? Is that pretty simple? It's difficult in practice sometimes because of all the stuff that's going on in our lives. But indeed, at its fundamental point, the truth is, here's God's word, do it. The whole concept of faith is that God can enable us to do what seems impossible if we'll follow through on what he said. That's what faith is. It's not telling God why we're going to do it differently. Pursuit of God is being in agreement with him. There's a passage of Scripture in Hosea says, can any two walk together unless they be agreed? No, you're going to be going opposite directions. If you differ, you're going different directions. So we have to sync our lives with God's life. And what are the indicators? How do we know what really matters to us when we say that I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? How do we know what's really true? I think there's some very obvious indicators. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay, so all that stuff that we're usually in pursuit of, he's saying is, put me first. Pursue your relationship with me first. Seek my righteousness first. Let me be in authority first, and then all that stuff, I'll take care of all that stuff. Previous scriptures talking about food, clothing, shelter, daily stuff that we spend our time working to achieve and accomplish and accumulate. And I take you back to our text. If you read the text, verses 9 through 11, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Most of us think if I just work a little harder, if I just get a little more, I'll be in that comfortable place. And yet, we know people who have lots more than us, and they're thinking the same thing we're thinking. If I just get a little more. Because the enemy continues to feed that mentality to us. If I just had a little more, I'd be a little happier. What are the indicators of our priority? Well, probably to us, and not necessarily so well known to other people, would be our career path or our job preference. Indeed, if God is pricking our heart about wanting us to do something and we're still pursuing something else, it's a pretty good indicator that we're not pursuing what God wants for us. If God is constantly challenging us and saying, here's what I want to be happening in your life, and we're going another direction, we're probably not asking God. We're probably not pursuing God. But one of the greatest things that is an indicator of what matters to us is how we use our resources. You ever heard a sermon where a guy said, if you want to know what's important to people, look in their checkbook? have a friend who several years ago was on a career path to be a very successful accountant. And in the process of that, in his early, late 20s, the Lord called him to preach. And so he answered that call to preach. And he was telling me one time, as he was in this area, pastoring in this area, he told me that he got audited by the IRS. And the reason that he got audited, this was their red flag. Nobody making the amount of money that you make really gives that much money to the church. That was their red flag. He gave too much. But having been on a path to be an accountant, he was very well prepared for the audit. He had all kinds of receipts. He had them all organized. He had everything in his computer. He was that kind of guy. And so when the auditor came in and he starts throwing him all this stuff, he goes, "This audit's over." He said, "We're just not even going to choose this anymore." He said, "It's all here. It's just obvious." He said, "You're crazy." Why? Because he believed that you couldn't outgive God. He believed that being obedient to the cause of Christ was more important than anything else. He believed that what God wanted for him was maybe more important than what he wanted sometimes in life. What really matters to us? The stewardship of our resources is probably the number one indicator of whether we're truly pursuing God or something else. And then we can look at whether our thought process is eternal or temporal. How many of you remember that passage of Scripture where he said, "Set your mind on things above instead of on things of this earth"? And yet how many of us are working our spiritual life around what we think we have to be doing here in the temporal realm? Because we've made this plan, or we're going to do this thing, or we're going to accomplish that, or we want to accumulate this. And therefore, we begin to say to God, "Well, yeah, I'll do that, but I can't do that right now because I got to do this." And then when we get this, we have to keep up with this, so we have to keep paying for this, and so we can't do what God said. Truth of the matter is, we can't. I just had a meeting not long ago with an individual who said to me, "Well, I'm kind of reading some stuff in the Bible and things, and I don't know that I can afford to do that." I just looked him right now and I said, "You know what? I don't think you can afford not to do that. Because when you can't afford to do what God tells you to, you just basically tied God's hand for doing what he wants to do for you." It's kind of like when we pray that prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and say, "Father, forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me." So in essence, you're saying, if I don't forgive others, don't forgive me. If I hold grudges against other people, hold grudges against me. We're basically saying, "God, you treat me the way I reflect your love to others." Wow. You know, because our philosophy is, yes, I want God's forgiveness, but I'm not giving it to somebody else. I'm going to hold it all for myself. The way we appropriate our resources, whether temporal or the things that God has blessed us with, spiritual, that we're sharing with others, has a lot to do with what we think is important and what matters to us. Are we chasing the temporal, or are we pursuing the eternal? And here's the bottom line. The product of an appropriate pursuit is that indeed our inalienable right of happiness occurs. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus was teaching. These are red letters. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." The word "blessed" in the Greek means happy. So what's it saying? It's saying happy is the person who is producing the character of Christ. Because when you live God's way, here's the benefits. So when we the product of our pursuit of God is that we indeed achieve the inalienable right of happiness. That we are in God's presence. We have the assurance and the promise of His presence. If you go back to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13, excuse me, 13 and 14, read this way: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you in exile." Are we pursuing God with all our heart? Or is it possible that much of our pursuit is kind of half-hearted? I'm not saying that you don't believe there's a God. I'm not saying that you don't love Jesus. I'm not saying you don't want to go to heaven. But what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, the enemy can very easily, because of what we can see in the temporal, the enemy can rob from us true pursuit of godliness, because we're consumed about all this accumulation and achievement, and we can't get to where God wants us to be. The truth of the matter is, we need to be more concerned with becoming who God wants us to be than being distracted and consumed by what we can do for or what He can give to us. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 11 and 12 read this way: "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." What our texts say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, "I've learned to be content whatever my status of wealth or lack of." What did the text say? Pursue godliness. Pursue godliness. There is nothing in this life more important than a right relationship with God. Because a right relationship with God is the only thing that puts you in eternity where you want to be. And this is the proving ground right here. This is the testing ground of where your heart is at. Jesus' last words to us when He left were to go make disciples, to be about His business. If we are not careful, the enemy can so easily have us so wrapped up in what we think we have to do in this temporal realm that we don't have time or resources to be about God's business, because we've got to take care of all this stuff. That's not what the Word tells us. It says, "Seek me first, and then I'll give you all this." It says, "Pursue godliness, and therein you'll find contentment." Janet was rehearsing a song this morning with the praise team. It really is an appropriate ending here. And so, Janet, if you would come and lead us in that. It just says, "Jesus, be the center." That's what we're talking about. What's your pursuit? What are you in pursuit of? Are you in pursuit of God first and foremost? Or is God just something that's a part of your pursuit of everything else? Are you looking for God to kind of help you get what it is you're pursuing? Or are you asking God what He wants you to be pursuing? Mike, do we have the words to that chorus, "Jesus be the center"? Let's stand together. Janet's going to lead us. The altars are open this morning. If you're here and God's spoken to you about something, if you just need to surrender a part of your life, or you want to give your heart to God, or you just need to pray for something to be current up to date, whatever it is, these altars are open to you. It's a good place to meet God. Say, "Hey, man, I want to get where I'm supposed to be." And God certainly is there waiting to help you get to that place.
Jesus, be the center.
Amen. My prayer is that He will be the center of your focus in your life. He will never lead you astray or down a wrong path. So pursue Him with all your heart, with all your strength. Tonight will be a communion service, and so if you want to come be with us at 6 o'clock, we'll appreciate that. Small groups will meet again on next week, but tonight is a corporate gathering, so we're here for everybody. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of our gathering tonight at 6 o'clock. Brother Ed Gill, if you would, pray a closing prayer for us, please.